before we start, I want to thank some people who yesterday in Washington, D.C., held a meeting with the press. They're my Judicial Advisory Committee. The purpose of the Judicial Advisory Committee is to work with me and my campaign to give us advice on legal matters, sensitive legal matters, as well as on the appointment of judges and how to do it and what criteria to have. I want to particularly thank Stephen Calabrese and Ted Olson and Miguel Estrada and Mark Mukasey and Maureen Mahoney and Ron Cass and Randy Mastro. There were a lot of lawyers there. I can't mention all of them. But they took a lot of time putting this together, and they've helped to develop a position paper on appointment of judges, a position paper on tort reform. They're working on things that involve various constitutional questions that come up at different times, and they will during the campaign. And I couldn't possibly have a group of better and more experienced lawyers, some of whom I've worked with, some of whom I haven't worked with directly in the past, but I want to thank them very much. They've given a lot of time to this, and I want to thank them for being part of my advisory committee.
Since you are talking about judges today, you mentioned in your speech some judges that are currently on the bench that you appreciate, that you're your type of guys, or your type of people. And you also praised the way that former President Reagan appointed judges. I wonder if you'd talk particularly about Sandra Day O'Connor and whether she's the type of judge you would approve of.
Well, I admire Sandra Day O'Connor very, very much. And I was there in the Justice Department when she was selected as a justice of the Supreme Court. And, you know, I think that if I'm going to give the American people an idea and a set of ideas on the kind of judges I would be looking for, the ones that I mentioned are the ones I put at the top of the list. But I consider Justice Kennedy, Justice O'Connor, to be very, very good appointments. But if you want to get an idea of what I would be looking for, it would be similar to the ones that I mentioned. I also have great respect for the Democratic appointments to the court. I thought for a Democratic president, those appointments were very good appointments. They'd just not be the kind of appointments I would make. The view that I have of selecting Supreme Court justices is when a president gets elected, if it's a Bill Clinton or a Ronald Reagan or a Bush, they're going to select different kinds of judges. You can't expect a Bill Clinton to select the same kind of judges that a Ronald Reagan would select. And then you have to give them a certain amount of discretion in appointing those judges, and then they have to appoint qualified people. So this election for president is really going to be about whether you want activist judges or you want strict constructionist judges. And I think the Democrats will go for activist judges. And I think, in my case, I know I would appoint strict constructionist judges. I imagine most Republicans would agree with that.
Why didn't you mention Roe versus Wade in your speech today in regards to this position?
Because I actually thought the Parker decision is a very good contemporary example of how you do strict constructionism. And sometimes you want to get away from just one particular topic, because strict constructionism is much broader than just Roe against Wade or Escobedo or Miranda or criminal rights issues. It's a much broader thing. It's about how to interpret the Constitution in a way in which you show fidelity to what it means. I'll give you an example. I think the line item veto would be a good I was going to use that, but I left it out of my speech because I didn't have time. I think the line item veto is a very good policy thing. I think the president should have the line item veto. I would love to have had the line item veto as mayor of New York. I envy the governors who have the line item veto, because he can do a lot to really control spending with a line item veto. The line item veto, however, is just plain unconstitutional. You had to amend the Constitution to do it. So even if you're a conservative who's a strict constructionist, you would like to have the line item veto, but the framers of the Constitution clearly did not provide it. So now you have to get an amendment to do it. That's what it means to be a strict constructionist.
I think both of us are thinking the same thing, though. She's asking about abortion. I'm asking about Sandra Day O'Connor, who was at one time considered a swing vote on that issue. There are other candidates walking around this state saying that they want to be the first person to appoint the person that overturns Roe v. Wade. Are you making the abortion question a litmus test at all?
Nope. The abortion question is not a litmus test. Roe against Wade is not a litmus test. No particular case is a litmus test. That is actually, in this is my humble opinion, as somebody who has practiced in the federal courts, even argued before the Supreme Court, that's not the way to appoint a Supreme Court justice or any judge. Any really good candidate for judge, when you ask him that question, will tell you, I don't know the answer to that question. And I will not know the answer to that question until I hear the arguments in the case. Otherwise, why do we have legal argument, if not to give judges a chance to change their minds? And I think when this whole litmus test thing is sort of a misapplication of what is the way in which you appoint a judge.
Last question.
You have supported Roe v. Wade, though.
I think Roe against Wade is one issue. It is not the only issue. I noticed that during the question and answer period, none of the people here brought it up. So maybe more of an issue for you than it is for them. And I think probably I made the right choice of the things to focus on in that speech that I gave, because it seemed to me it was the thing that people wanted to hear about.
Mayor, there was an analysis done of the judges that you appointed as mayor of New York that said that of the 75 some odd, only 6 were Republicans, and that a lot of the Democrats were actually praised by pro-choice, pro-gay rights, pro-gun control groups. How do you sort of reconcile that record with what your commitment now?
Well, those 6 Republicans that I appointed were actually more than the Republicans in New York City. They had to move into New York City in order to get appointed. I think proportionally I appointed about as many Republican judges as you could appoint in a city that's 5 or 6 to 1 Democratic. And the reason for my appointment of those judges is quite different than the reason you'd appoint federal judges. I was appointing criminal court judges. I was appointing judges that largely set bail. Their job is to be tough on criminals or not. And the issue that I was facing with them, and I think I did a pretty good job of that, not 100%, just like Ronald Reagan didn't do 100%, and Bill Clinton didn't do 100%, and George Bush hasn't done 100%. But I bet I did 80 or 90% in picking judges who were tough on criminal law matters. And in fact, I used to get criticized for picking too many prosecutors, too many people who were too tough on criminals. And go back and read the contemporary reports that fill with that. So the whole idea of that, these judges are largely not going to be interpreting the Constitution. They're going to be deciding, what kind of bail do we set? Do we have preventive detention or don't we? What kind of sentences do we give for minor crimes? And I look for judges, frankly, who would be tougher than the judges that were on the bench who were providing what was thought of as this kind of in-the-door, out-the-door kind of justice. So, and I think we reversed that. If you look at it, I think we did a pretty good job of reversing it. So you appoint judges for different purposes. If what I was focusing on was constitutional law interpretation for these judges, it would have been totally irrelevant. They don't get to do that.
That's it, guys. Thank you very much.